And no doubt we have heard about the four accounts of the gospel. We know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But have you heard of the gospel according to Isaiah? Maybe not. I know over the years many people have written about the gospel according to Isaiah, but I had never had a chance to work on a sermon. And when I started looking at it, I realized there was really no way to do it in one sermon. You know, the principles of the gospel, the elements of the gospel, were foretold by Old Testament prophets. And so many of them, when you go back and look at those prophets, people like Joel, for instance, who foretold about so many of the basic elements of the gospel. But probably no Old Testament prophet talked about and prophesied about the gospel more than Isaiah. He talked about the Messiah, which will be the prophecies we look at tonight. And he also prophesied about the Messiah's kingdom, which, Lord willing, will be next Sunday night. Fulfilled prophecies is a wonderful way of helping people come to faith in God and in the Bible. And so when we look at these tonight, we're not only helping our faith and making it stronger, but hopefully we're looking at ways to help other people come to believe. Because Isaiah prophesied more than 700 years before the birth of Christ. Now think about that. If we go back 700 years today, you know, we're talking about the 1300s. We're talking about the middle of what they call the Dark Ages. And can you imagine someone writing a book back in the early 1300s predicting exactly some things that would happen in our day? Would not be possible. So that's why we see that the things that Isaiah prophesied about that would happen was miraculous. It had to come from an all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful, intelligent being. And that being, of course, we call God. And so we're going to focus tonight on prophecies about the Messiah and how they were fulfilled in the New Testament times. And we're going to look about who the Messiah would be and then what kind of ministry he would have, because Isaiah touches on both of those. And probably when we think about prophecies about the Messiah, probably the one from Isaiah that comes to mind the very first is that he would be born of a virgin. So let's go back. Obviously, you'll want to keep Isaiah marked because we're going to be looking at many different ones tonight from Isaiah. But of course, that famous one is found in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. And there's actually two parts of that prophecy that are significant. So in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, the Lord is speaking and says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And of course, Emmanuel has to do with God with us. We know when this was fulfilled. Matthew's account of the gospel makes it clear what this prophecy was about. In Matthew chapter 1, the very first chapter, we're going to begin reading in verse 18, and we'll see there how this prophecy came to pass more than 700 years later. Matthew 1, verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, Do not be afraid to take you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now think about that. More than 700 years we have this prophecy recorded by the prophet Isaiah, prophesying about something truly miraculous, that one day in the future, a woman who was a virgin would conceive and bear a son. And that son would be called Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us. That alone is a truly amazing prophecy. Just absolutely amazing. But that is just one of many. In Isaiah chapter 9, we have this prophecy about the child Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 6, it says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. There's a prophecy about who this child would be and what he would be called. It says the government would be upon his shoulder. He would be a counselor. He would be the mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and he would reign upon the throne of David and over his kingdom. And it would be a kingdom that was established with judgment and justice. And it would go on forever. And of course, notice what was announced by the angels at the birth of Jesus in Luke chapter 2. Of course, those two verses back in Isaiah form an entire sermon just looking at those two verses. But look at how it was fulfilled. Luke chapter 2 and verse 11. This, of course, this is the angel there announcing Jesus. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. And that also is significant. See, this was announced by those angels when Jesus was born, who he would be. He would be a Savior, and that Savior would be Christ, which means basically the Anointed One, and he would be the Lord. And of course, he would reign over his kingdom. So, we already have two prophecies about his birth and about who he would become. Sticking with who this Messiah would be in Isaiah 11, we have in verse 1 something else very significant about the Messiah's ancestors. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now this isn't the only place where that is talked about, but it is talked about in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. Now, when you go on and look, and we'll look at verse 2 here in a little bit, this is another instance where he's obviously talking about this Messiah. The one he had talked about in chapter 7, one he had talked about in chapter 9 as well. So, this Messiah, this anointed one, this Christ, would be of the family of David. Of course, Jesse was David's father, so This is the branch that he was coming from. This is talking about Jesus' lineage, where he would come from. He would be of Jesse's or David's ancestry. And of course we know, going to Matthew 1, that Matthew records the lineage of the Messiah. Notice first of all, Matthew 1 verse 1. Matthew 1 verse 1 says, "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David." Alright? He was of that lineage of David. And then skip down to verse 5. "Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David the king." There we have Matthew's genealogy of Christ. And he came from David's branch, his family, Jesse's family. So again, now, Isaiah 7, Isaiah 9, Isaiah 11. Three very distinct prophecies that came about and were fulfilled exactly like Isaiah said they would be fulfilled 700 years before it happened. And staying in Isaiah chapter 11, this time verse 2, talking about that same one, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." So it says the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon him. And of course, this was one of the times when this was manifested, was at his baptism. Remember what happened at his baptism? Matthew chapter 3. Notice how Matthew's account of the gospel describes what happened at Jesus' baptism. In Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. Matthew 3, verse 16. Of course, John is the one that's baptizing Jesus. And it says in verse 16 of the third chapter, "When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" The Spirit of the Lord would rest upon him, and it certainly did. Who he would be? Born of a virgin? He would be a wonderful child who would reign. He would come from the family of David, and the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon him. Now to his ministry. What his ministry would be like. Those four things we looked at should be enough to convince most people that these prophecies were real, and that Isaiah didn't just make them up and guess. We talked a little bit about guessing this morning. Not possible to make these prophecies and see them fulfilled like they were. Well, what about his ministry? Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Remember, Isaiah is kind of split up into two parts. The first 39 chapters and then the last 27 chapters. Which, of course, is like the Old Testament having 39 books and the New Testament 27. That's kind of a way to remember how Isaiah is split up. Well, in Isaiah chapter 40, we're going to begin reading there in verse 3. Isaiah 40 and verse 3. "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." There would be a forerunner of Jesus. Someone whose voice would cry in the wilderness. He would be crying, "Prepare the way of the Lord." It was like someone who goes ahead and prepares the path for the one who would be coming. And that's what he's talking about when he talks about the valleys being raised up, the mountains being raised lowered, the crooked places made straight. That was John's ministry, to make things ready for the people when Jesus came so that they would believe in him. And that was his job. Now notice Matthew chapter 3. And we'll see the significance of that prophecy and how it was fulfilled. Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" That's what John came to do. He came to prepare the people. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's what John's preaching was mainly about, was repentance. So people would be prepared when Jesus came to listen to him. So that's why it says that he came to make the path straight. That was his ministry. That was his job. And so more than 700 years before the Messiah came, here we have Isaiah saying that in the future, before the Messiah comes, there's going to be one whose voice would be crying in the wilderness, "Make straight a highway for our God." In Isaiah chapter 61, we have these words in the first three verses. And like most of these, you will find and remember how familiar they are. Isaiah chapter 61, the first three verses. Beginning in verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Notice, this was fulfilled by Christ preaching in Nazareth. Luke chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 16. Luke 4, and verse 16. I'm talking about Jesus. "So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.' Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.' So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, 'Is this not Joseph's son?'" Now think about that. 700 years before this time, Isaiah said that this would be what the Messiah was going to preach. Recovery of sight, liberty, healing. He was going to preach the gospel to the poor. Why? Because he had been anointed to do that. And that's exactly what Jesus said he was doing there in that area. But that's not all. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. And we're going to read the first two verses there. Again, you will probably recognize these verses as well. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles." Notice verse 2. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." Now this, of course, was fulfilled by Christ living and preaching in the area of Capernaum. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus will quote directly from Isaiah. Matthew chapter 4, we're going to begin in verse 12. Matthew 4 and verse 12. And Jesus here, of course, is in Galilee. "Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned.' And from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" See, he brought a great light to that area, because he was preaching to them that the kingdom was coming, and it was coming soon. And of course it would be very soon. And the very last one I want to talk about, again, is one of those that would fill several sermons, and that's Isaiah 53, where the entire chapter talks about the Messiah. And we'll just read a part of that chapter, beginning in verse 4. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. It says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken." More than probably any other chapter in Isaiah, this chapter shows and is evidence that this was written by an all-wise, all-powerful, all-knowing, intelligent being. Because just these verses that we've read, those five verses, very clearly depict what happened to Jesus. And again, there's so many places we could read. We're just going to read a couple. Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. Because this one specifically refers to the prophecy of Isaiah. Matthew 8, verse 16. "When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now there, Matthew is saying that part of Jesus' ministry of casting out demons and healing all who were sick was a fulfillment of those verses we just read in Isaiah. But that's not the only place. I want to, lastly, refer to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 and notice how it sounds so similar to what we read in Isaiah 53. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24 says this. And again, notice the language and how it sounds so similar to Isaiah's words. Actually, let's go to verse 23. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. And again, many other places could be shown to be fulfillment of Isaiah 53. We have looked at like 8 different prophecies tonight that were fulfilled in the life of the Messiah. You know, who he would be born to and how he would be born and what he would become and what he would do here on earth. By looking at these prophecies, when we can get people to sit down and look at these prophecies and see that they were written hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before, then maybe a few will come to have faith. Maybe a few will come to believe that there is a God and that He wrote down His revelation to mankind. Fulfilled prophecies is one of the very best ways to help people come to faith. It really is one of the very best ways. And next Sunday when we look at the establishment of the kingdom that Isaiah talks about very specifically, we will have more places that we can talk to someone about. So hopefully more and more people will come to believe. I hope your faith has been strengthened some. I know mine has from looking at these verses and the ones we'll look at next week, these fulfilled prophecies. Maybe it'll also help us in our work, in our personal work, in talking to others. We have an invitation song that Doug has picked out to help us think about, you know, our faith and is it strong or is it weak? Does it need help? Maybe we need the prayers of each other. But if you do need to respond, I certainly encourage you to do that as we stand and sing the song.